Hi, Flocking Amazing listeners. It's your host, Sarah Fitzhenry. Before we dive in today, I do want to give a quick disclaimer. As you're listening, you might notice some unusual background noise. That jingling and happy baby cooing would be my daughter. Hopefully it's not too distracting, but work from home parents, you know what that's like. I'm hoping that you enjoy today's episode anyway, and that maybe those happy baby noises bring you an extra smile. Okay, let's get to it. And welcome to Flocking Amazing, the podcast all about deep and joyful learning from the team at Bird Brain Technologies. I'm your host, Sarah Fitzhenry, robot fairy godmother and all-around education enthusiast. Bird Brain is known for its groundbreaking technology for students, but this podcast is all about the grown-ups that guide and inspire them. And we talk to teachers on this podcast, but the truth is that not all teachers work in the same places or teach the same age people. So we are approaching teaching from a different angle with our guest today. She is internationally recognized for her work in computer science as an educator, an author, a speaker, a presenter, an activist, a nonprofit founder, you name it, she has done it and been amazing at it. And now she is a doctoral candidate studying computer science education at the University of Virginia. Welcome, Kim Wilkins. Thanks so much for coming.
Oh, of course.
Kim, I know a lot about you. We have worked together for a long time now, both in and out of schools, on all sorts of projects and presentations and workshops, but our listeners might not be familiar with you. So who are you and what is your teaching story?
So my name is Kim Wilkins, and like you said, I'm getting my EDD, doctoral degree in education, curriculum and instruction at University of Virginia right now. And so that's been a whole journey that I never expected to take, but it's been awesome. And if we go sort of rewind, I actually was a computer science education major when I was graduated from college, and I worked in industry for a dozen years, and in Charlottesville now. And when we moved here, I had a child, and I was like, I don't know what I want to do anymore. I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. And somehow found myself volunteering at my son's school, and that turned into a whole new career for me. So, I've been teaching computer science mostly in the K-8 space, but I also work with high schoolers. And then most recently, I've been teaching undergrad. So it's quite the journey.
I feel like your journey is unique because we talk to a lot of people that started in education and made their way to computer science, but you started in computer science and then made your way to education.
Yeah.
So do you think that that gives you a different perspective when you're working with teachers?
For sure. So I think, first of all, I think it appears that I'm super confident about technology and computer science, but I just know enough about it that I know how to find answers, or I know it's never going to work perfectly, so I never have that expectation. And so I find sometimes the teachers, you know, think, well, it's not working, I'm not good at it. I'm like, no, it has nothing to, that's technology. Like, it's always going to have bugs. So I think I come from that perspective. And then just, you know, not having done education since the beginning and bringing in some of the stuff that I learned when I was in my corporate life, I think, has been interesting to see how it is or is not compatible with the education world.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Because you worked in the corporate world first.
Yeah.
And learned kind of how that moves and how that ticks.
Yeah.
And then jumping into the education world. And are they
so different?
That was what I was going to ask.
So different. Yeah.
Can you give a quick synopsis of how they're so different?
Well, the first thing I found was just when I was in industry, at least, you know, you have a manager. I was a manager. There's all this training about how you work with your employees and how you're constantly getting feedback and giving feedback. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like in education that wasn't happening. Like, here I am, no experience in education, and people were letting me like teach and do things, and I'm like, why isn't anybody like here were watching, making sure I'm doing the right thing. And then I found, you know, and I found that, you know, some people were intimidated by the idea of people coming in your classroom. And I've always been, you know, most of what I have done has gone into other people's classrooms to help them integrate. Mm-hmm. So I'm always doing stuff in front of people, right? And I always, you know, and I thought it was so strange that a lot of educators were like, no, no, I just, you know, I just want to be here. And
they don't know your secret. The confidence is knowing it's going to go wrong. Like, yeah. That's, I feel like you need to put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, there just aren't enough administrators. Like, the administration to educator ratio, you know, is not like in corporate America. So, of course, you're not going to get that level of feedback. But it just seems like it's desperately needed.
Sounds like there were some opportunities for mentorship and for professional growth in the corporate world that maybe there aren't in education.
Yeah.
When you introduced your EDD, you said that that was a surprising journey. You were working in corporate America and then volunteering and teaching. How did you make the transition from teaching into getting your doctorate, and what are you studying?
Right. So we were actually working together before that. So we were both at the same school, and I was the computer science coordinator. And it was a great experience. I was there for 6 years. They really let me sort of grow this program from the ground up. They let me do all sorts of things like be involved with Mozilla and create hackathons. And I also am the founder of a nonprofit, Tech Girls in Charlottesville Women in Tech, and they were very supportive of all that. Plus, because I was going into these classrooms and there were great teachers at the school, mm-hmm. and I learned so much from them, because it turns out I'm good at technology, but I wasn't so great at behavior management. that was
very, very different skills.
That was my Achilles heel. So that was super helpful. And I just, you know, because I'm integrating in all sorts of subject areas, just being able to go in and learn about subject areas from the subject area experts was an amazing experience. And then the pandemic happened. And there, it felt like I had reached sort of where I could get at that location. And here's, it sort of comes back to that, how do you grow? You know, how do you keep having more impact? And I really wanted to take what we were doing at that school and make it happen everywhere, because I think it was a really great program that we created, but it was just happening, you know, in this one location. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I really wanted to be able to reach more educators and help them see that it's a great thing to integrate computer science into their curriculum. And so it felt like getting a doctorate would be a way to kind of have some influence. Plus, I get to work with the amazing Jenny Chu. So I think she was the biggest draw. She's my advisor, and worked with her on several projects. And so just being able to be in that space and work with her. And yeah.
So what are you kind of studying, working on, working through, practicing? And how is that going to help you impact computer science education on a bigger scale?
So some of it is just learning how to do research. Like, one of the things I really wanted to do is be able to find out what computer science education research was happening. I knew that there was some. Turns out not a whole lot, but there's some. But when you're an educator or not inside a university, a lot of that is blocked off to you. Like, there's paywalls and all sorts of things. Plus, it's just like a whole different language to do that. So just learning about the research process, because it's super important to be able to understand what things do work and what things do not work, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to go around sharing ideas that don't actually work.
Yeah.
Or haven't been proven through research. So that was a big part of it, is like learning that process and being able to do some of that. So as I've been doing that, I've been part of professional development that I sort of created and now have brought to UVA and have kept that going. And so now we've actually been able to do research on this PD to prove, yes, it does help educators integrate computer science. So that's like, oh, yay.
What a nice bonus.
That's great. And I've been just super lucky to be able to pursue my passion of computer science education. Mm-hmm. And it's an area, especially in K-8, that's fairly new and growing, so kind of feeling like I'm on that ground floor. Yeah. And I'm working on my capstone project now, which is my final hurdle, milestone. And it is about looking at
like, how do we bring computer science education into the school of education so that teachers coming out, especially K-8 teachers, have some exposure to computer science education. Mm-hmm. So, like, just that right there is having an influence that I wasn't having before.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And when I trained as an educator, I don't think I had experience with computer science. When I got into schools, I realized it was something students wanted. And so I was like, I better figure this out. Do you think most educators are ending up kind of falling into it the same way?
Yeah. And that's, you know, one of the things that's gotten proven out through the research is that, for instance, the state of Virginia and 41 states or so that have computer science standards that are supposed to be taught in K-8. There are not a lot of schools of education that are actually preparing their pre-service teachers to do that.
Yeah, man. So teachers are getting a huge amount of information about pedagogy and teaching very quickly in getting their degree and then landing in the classroom. And there are so many things that we're not taught that we need to do. And now one of those is computer science.
Right.
And it's a thing that can be tough to teach correctly if you don't have a foundation, don't have a mentor teacher, don't have the support, maybe don't have the tools, and there's not a lot of professional development available.
Yep.
Well, I can see why you want to do something about that. That makes sense to me. So you've had quite an impressive career and experience in computer science so far, but how are you first drawn to computer science and technology? Like, how did that start for you?
So I've always loved technology, and I think that came from my dad. He was always getting the latest tech stuff. So I remember, I'm fairly old. Whatever.
What a way to say it. I'm fairly old.
And our first computer was called a TRS-80, and it had a cassette. For the cassette tape for the hard, that was the hard drive.
Ooh, stuff pre-floppy was stored, disk.
And I think it had 4K of memory.
Very exciting. Wow.
Yeah. And it could only do text-based stuff, but I loved it. And then I was actually a math major in college because I loved math. But I do remember I went to a very small college and I had some problem with a math problem. And I remember the professor telling me something like, oh yeah, women typically have problems with this kind of problem. And that just was like, I was already a feminist back then. And I was just like, oh no. And I think by then I had taken a computer science elective and I just loved it. And I loved the problem solving aspect and that I was controlling the machine and that was not controlling me. I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's still a lens that you take into it.
Oh, yeah.
I get to problem solve. I get to control the machine, you know, creation, not just consumption.
Yeah.
I learned about that from you.
Yeah.
You have worked with all sorts of different platforms, different robots, different devices. What is it that you like about Bird Brain products? What is it that you like about Finch and about Hummingbird?
So I first met the Hummingbird and gosh, I don't know how many, it was a long, long time ago. Tom was at a VSTE conference and was demoing them. And I was just like, I have got to get these because this was very early days of Tech Girls for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the robotics platforms out there were Lego, maybe BeBot, but, you know, pretty limited.
Yeah.
And you weren't, well, you were building Lego ones, but there wasn't a lot of creativity. And I was also a robotics coach at that point. And guess what? A lot of girls were signing up for robotics. Mm-hmm. So I just knew that there was something there that needed to change. And when I saw this platform where you could build something around and be so creative about it, and then talking to Tom and how he was trying to solve one of the problems he was trying to solve with this robot is getting more girls interested in computer science and technology. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, that was a pretty easy sell for me. And then, yeah, the Finch, it's, you're not building that. It's a pre-made thing, but it's also got a lot of flexibility in the coding platform. So I like that about tools. You'll hear this idea of low floor, high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really great tools when they actually perform that way.
Yeah.
Because then that means, A, as an educator, you can use them in all different kinds of, with all different kind of grade ages, also different skill levels, because I guess one of the most challenging things I didn't talk about is that unlike a lot of subject areas. When you're in a classroom doing computer science, and doesn't matter if it's K through 8, high school, whatever, you're going to get so many levels of students,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you can't just plan a lesson and be, or a project or whatever, and not have some sort of challenge, some sort of, you know, either reaching back to the ones who are not quite there yet, or reaching forward and saying, hey, okay, let me challenge you with this, all in a way that makes everybody feel like they're being successful. Like, that is pretty challenging
to do.
But that's why you want those tools like a Finch that can be block-based, or it can be, you know, command-based. And then there's just so many tools, things you can do with it. One of the favorite things I like to do is the maze, creating mazes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just inventing, well, we weren't, we were remixing somebody else's game for the Finches. So I like that those tools are just, they're great.
What a good answer. So can you share a challenging moment and a rewarding moment from your working with teachers to incorporate computer science, from your journey at the University of Virginia and your studying computer science education? And what's challenging and rewarding for you right now in this step of your journey?
Sure. I think, so the challenging thing is actually pretty similar for students and working with educators. It's getting them sort of in the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know, my challenge is being able to talk in a way or help educators who don't think they can do this imagine that they can, and talk, you know, their language, meet them where they are, I guess, is really what I need to do. And so that, you know, sometimes it's challenging for me because I'm a little further on. but technology and computer science is humbling because it always reminds you that you're never going to have everything right.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing. But that is both, you know, working with students and educators, it's just getting them beyond that initial fear factor element. And, you know, also working with tech girls, that's another big thing. I guess the getting over the stereotypes and the misconceptions around computer science and technology, I think those are my most challenging moments. I remember at the school that I was teaching at, I taught this elective that I thought, this is going to be great, digital art. I'll get a nice balance of gender. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. Because by middle school, the girls had already decided they weren't good at that.
So they just saw the word digital and wouldn't sign up?
Yeah.
Oh.
So at that point, I'm like, okay. It was part of the arts curriculum, and I convinced the whole art department that instead of signing up for just one thing, everybody needs to sign up for some digital art, some drawing, some painting. Like, so everybody got it. And that went beautifully. And then once they're in their door, and, you know, those hesitants are in the door and they see they can do it, you know, then the most rewarding part is when they get those aha moments.
Oh, yeah.
They've had a super hard challenge, and we've talked about all the mistakes they've made. And I also celebrate mistakes. That's very important.
Yeah.
And then they get it, like something clicks. Oh, that's so sweet.
Who's harder to get in the door, students or teachers?
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. So what advice would you give to teachers who are looking to start teaching with technology and with robotics?
Just do it. Start small. Like, I think there's so much that you can do with it. It can be so overwhelming. Lots of stuff coming at you. And if you haven't done a lot with it, just, you know, start small. Start with a one little step. I always like to look for tools that have a community behind them, like, say, Bird Brain Technologies. But, you know, Scratch is another one that I think about because they, you know, have forums. And if you're feeling like you're the only one in your space doing it, it's nice to have outlets where you can reach out to folks and be like, hey, I have this problem. There's CSTA, Computer Science Teachers Association, and they're a great resource. They now have this great online community where you can pretty much by different grade bands, ask questions, get ideas. So there's no lack of resources out there to try something out. And also expect the unexpected. Like, don't feel like you've got to go in, you've got to have the perfect plan, because it is not going to go to plan. And so, you know, find, especially if you're, I know there's so much stress about standards and, you know, all the things that we have to get in. So if you need to, find a day that, you know, you're not going to have that kind of pressure on you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a time frame that is after test, or, you know, what, just find a time frame that's easy for you to experiment. Because really what you're doing with computer science always is experimenting and trying things out. And so practicing that mindset, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah. And do you think it's easier for teachers to start with, like, standalone computer science and robotics stuff before they start integrating into the curriculum? Or is it easier to start right off the bat with something you're going to have to teach math anyway? You might as well teach math with a robot.
I think it really depends. If you, I mean, I think you want to get a comfort level with whatever it is you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes doing standalone helps you with that. But also, you know, when I would go in and help teachers integrate computer science, I would always ask them for that lesson that either wasn't going great and they needed some, you know, tweaking to kind of elevate it. Because the thing is, computer science is very engaging for students. Mm-hmm. So if you, you know, if there's some lesson you need to tweak to make it more engaging, that's the one you want to go after.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But again, I think you want to do a pretty low stakes thing. Like, if this is something that's a little too high stakes, I wouldn't start with that as your first integration. I would start with something a little bit more low stakes and then ease your way into it. And then look for those students who are going to be your helpers. And so one of my secrets is that I don't actually know that much about any of these platforms. I'm just willing to try them out and get far enough. And guaranteed, no matter what age group I'm working with, there's going to be somebody in the classroom who, like, has done something I haven't done with it. And I'm like, oh, great. Can you show the other kids how you did that? And so I think that's also a mindset you have to have, is you're not going to be the expert in the classroom in this.
Well, you can't be in everything.
No.
You're teaching computer science, you're teaching all these different languages, all these different platforms, all these different tools.
Yeah.
It would take a lifetime. It would take multiple doctorates in order to become an expert in all of them. And so it would be a really difficult thing to teach if you felt like you needed to have the most content knowledge about every single subject.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's a unique field in that way, because mm-hmm. it's changing so fast.
Yeah.
You know, both my husband and my son are in the tech industry, and they're learning all the time, and they're struggling all, you know, they're coming up against issues that they have. And so that's just a mindset that you kind of have to have.
Yeah. How about advice for making that mindset shift? Because you talk about that mindset like it's an easy thing to get. And you've given some great advice for, you know, expecting it to fail, kind of fake it till you make it kind of confidence, rely on the students, which is great for the students too. But for shifting into that mindset, that computer science mindset, any advice for teachers on how they can get there?
That's why I say just do it. Like, you just have to start doing it to be able to practice that. And I think, you know, the other thing you can do is go to conferences or sign up. There's so many shorter PD things that mm-hmm. you can do online to just get your confidence level back up. The other thing is, you don't have to do something on the computer with kids, right? There's all these mm-hmm. CSM plugged activities, and doing physical computing is also such a great way to help students connect concepts with, like, hands-on learning.
Can you define physical computing really fast for any of our listeners that might not be familiar with it?
Sure. So physical computing is things like robotics. It's also makey-makey, which basically takes over keyboard input. There's just creating circuits, and I'm
like the
drawing
things we've made with the Hummingbird kit, where you're turning physical, think cardboard, into a robot with robotic components.
Yeah. And it's great for prototyping. Those tools are great for mm-hmm. prototyping. A microbit, I guess, is another big one. And those tools are just so great for letting students prototype their ideas. And when you give them the opportunity to come up with ideas and then prototype them, like, they'll do things you're like, whoa.
Pretty incredible. So whether you're a dip your toe in person or a jump in water over your head first step person, it sounds like no matter how you like to get in the water, you can't sit outside and plan it. You've got to just get in somehow.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing I want to make sure I'm clear about is I'm not trying to make everybody a computer scientist, but I am just so passionate about the influence that technology is having on all our lives that I want our students and our teachers to understand that. So when things like ChatGPT come out, you know, it doesn't freak people out.
Yeah, I wonder how many people just got goosebumps or like the hair on the back of their neck stood up because you said ChatGPT.
Right, right.
Because I'm sure there are a lot of classrooms right now that are facing it head on and talking about it with students. And I'm sure there are a lot of classrooms that are thinking, if I just ignore it, maybe it'll go away. And I have been both of those teachers at different times.
Right.
And so just the argument for giving teachers the tools to work with instead of against the technology that's changing their students' lives as they go, that's a pretty powerful one.
Yep.
It's time for my favorite question.
Okay.
Kim, what makes you a flocking amazing educator?
Okay. So I thought of two things. One, I think, is, and I did a keynote about this, like my superpower, and my superpower is I have this sense when something is out of my comfort zone, and it used to be I would avoid it, and now I kind of, that's like a like spider sense, like, oh, I should do that. So it's sort of flipping that switch on the discomfort and that comfort, you know, getting out of your comfort zone of you're going to feel it. Like, that just happened. And now I just need to be like, oh, so that's like a sign I should do that and not that I shouldn't.
Has that instinct ever led you astray?
Not, no.
Not yet?
Not yet.
We should check back in.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, I've certainly gotten in over my head and certainly, but I've always learned from things. There's nothing I regret.
Okay, that's good. So your ability to go, to run towards what scares you.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
I could see how that could make you a flocking amazing educator.
Yeah. And then the other thing I was thinking about is, and I think this goes back to our conversation about the level of feedback and things we get from peers and mentors and administrators and things like that. I have just never waited. Like, I like that. That's good. But I also have not wait. I just don't wait for somebody to tell me what my next step should be. Like, I've always been very proactive about, here's what I want to do, and, you know, are you going to help me do that? Great, yes, great. I'll, you know, I continue this pathway. Oh, you know, this is sort of the end of the line for me here. Okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to move on. So I think that, for me, that's been a strength, and also why I've kind of done these little, I'm showing my hands moving.
Yeah. We need a video.
A winding road. On my career.
All right, Kim, is there anything else you want our listeners to know? Any resources that you want to point them towards? We will make sure to link your online presence so they can find you because you are a resource in yourself. But is there anything else that you want to share?
I guess I just, can I make a plug for a couple of other podcasts?
Absolutely, you can.
So there, we have another podcast.
Yes, we
Once
do.
Upon a Tech, which we have big negligent with, but we're going to get back to it. But we also talk to a lot of students and educators about computer science and technology literacy and things like that. And under that umbrella, one of the things I did was create a podcast where I actually talked to education researchers about the computer science education research they're doing and what they hope the educators get out of it. So I think that's a real good, if you're, you know, thinking, I want to know more, that's a real good insight into what those researchers are thinking. Because I, you know, I think there needs to be this bridge between what research is doing and what educators are doing, because if we're separate, you know, if we're not communicating, what's the point?
Yeah. And if you are a Bird Brain super fan, then you might recognize the name of that podcast because Kim had our CEO and founder, Dr. Tom Lowers, on.
Yes.
I think it was last year. Mm-hmm. And we shared that on our social media. So I'll have to link that episode as well. People can get a little taste of what it is that you're talking about.
Awesome.
Kim, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
I think when you're in the classroom, it can be hard to see the bigger picture. And maybe when you're out in the bigger picture, it can be hard to zoom in on the classroom. So it is so great to be able to hear from educators in all sorts of different places and to remember that every educator at every level has some skin in the game right now and is working really, really hard to meet their goals.
Yep.
Listeners, thank you for joining us for Flocking Amazing, the podcast for quick, bite-sized conversations with real teachers, sharing their real expertise and providing real inspiration to us all. We'll have a new teacher conversation dropping soon, so don't flocking miss it.